Hey everybody, this is Josh Sturm, and I'm here for the Youth Sermon Preview Podcast without Paul Funchess and without Seth Weber. Seth is out with a baby, kind of, right now. A new baby, so that's awesome. Well, anyways, tonight we are back at it. We are in our fourth week of the Glory Gazers series. And it's kind of interesting when the title is Glory Gazers that I have yet to actually define glory. Now, that's a pretty tricky task. How do you define glory? So I'm treading lightly. But tonight I want to give the students some idea of, we're talking about beholding the glory of the Lord or being transformed from 2 Corinthians 3:18. So we've got at some level try to get at, okay, what is this thing that we're beholding? What are we looking at? What are we gazing at? And so here's my definition of glory that we're going to go with tonight. And obviously no definition is complete or adequate, but this gets us moving in the right direction. Here's my definition. Glory is the value and perfection of who God is and what God does put on display. Glory is the value and perfection of who God is and what God does put on display. So it's this display of God and his character. And we're going to go to a couple of different texts to show that. We're going to go to Exodus 33 and 34, where Moses says, God, show me your glory. And God says, I will let my goodness pass before you, and I'll proclaim my name, the Lord. And I'll be gracious on whom I'll be gracious, and I'll be merciful on whom I'll be merciful. And then in 34, you know, the Lord passes in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So what we see is when God's glory is put on display for Moses, we see God's character, who God is, and what God does is put on display. Then we're going to go to John 1, and we're going to ask the question, okay, we're supposed to behold the glory of the Lord. We're supposed to behold the glory of Christ. What is the glory of Christ? And it's really just a carrying over of Exodus 33 and 34. What we see in John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. So the glory that the disciples by faith saw in Jesus Christ, it wasn't a physical manifestation. It wasn't that they saw light shining off of his face. It was that they saw God's character. They saw the character of the Father. They saw that same glory that was revealed to Moses. It says, glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the content that they saw, the glory that they saw in Christ was the glory of the Father's character, of who God is and what God does. So that we're kind of getting at, what is this glory that we're supposed to look at? We're supposed to look at Christ's character, the fullness of grace and truth within him. So that's our first question. I'm going to do two subsequent questions just because it's a good time to address these things. So what does it mean to behold glory? What does it mean to behold glory? And essentially, I'm just going to throw seeing and agreeing with what glory is. So seeing and agreeing with God's glory being what it is, namely valuable and perfect. So when you see by faith the glory, the character, the who God is and what God does on display, beholding it is meditating on it in such a way that we see it for what it is and we agree with it and we love it. We value it as perfect and valuable. So we're going to go kind of, what is glory? What does it mean to behold glory? And then, because the students often wrestle with this final question, it's not directly applied to our series, but I'm just going to throw it in there since we're talking with it. How do we then glorify God? What does it mean to see his glory and then return it and glorify him? Again, this is like the definition of glory. This is a question that could take a bunch of different answers, a bunch of different angles. So tonight I'm really just going to make it a two-part. On the one hand, to glorify God is to do the reverse of what sin does in Romans 1, namely, it's to see God's character on display and to honor him for it, to give thanks for him for it, and to prefer him, to worship him above all things. So to glorify God is to see the glory of God in the creation that has been made, and to honor him, thank him, and worship him for it. So that's the first step. There's this agreeing with God that he is the most valuable, that he is the most perfect. But then there's a second. How do we glorify God? Well, we glorify God by imitating him, by being like him. We let our good works be on display so that people may see our good deeds and glorify God who's in heaven. So the quality of our actions, the who we are and what we do, can glorify God in as much as it points to him as the source and points to him as the one who's worthy and puts on display his character. So when our actions and our character are in line with God's actions and God's character, we put him on display as the ultimate one to be imitated, and we honor him and glorify him in that. So that's kind of it's kind of a disjointed logic tonight, but we're just going to look at some key texts about glory and draw out those three questions. So what to talk to your student about in that? I think two things. One, I think this is a good time to ask your student if they have memorized yet 2 Corinthians 3:18. So ask them, can you recite 2 Corinthians 3:18? And just for you guys who haven't been sitting under the sermons every week, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So that, ask them if they've actually memorized that. It's a good time to get that solidified in their brain. That's kind of one of the main goals of the summer, is to get them to have that verse stuck in their head and for them to feel the implications and what that verse is really saying about how we're transformed as Christians. A second question you can ask them is, do you find who God is and what God does as valuable and perfect? Do you see it that way? So, your students find all sorts of things as valuable. This is a good time to say, do you find God, who he is and what he does, as the most valuable? And you could even have conversations about implications of that. So if he is the most valuable in your life, how is that manifesting itself? How is that displaying itself? Is the way you're living actually showing that you find him to be the most valuable, the most glorious? So that's some conversation starter. Sorry for the lack of clarity there on some parts, but hopefully it's helpful, and enjoy discipling your students. Peace.